Well, guys, my name is Jonathan Buckley. I am doing a talk for you, Why Ubuntu. I'm going to cover a number of different things. Just real quick about myself. I'm a systems engineer at Safe Auto Insurance right here in town. I oversee the Linux and Unix environments for the company. I started using Ubuntu, Linux in general, back it was end of 2007. So I started with the 7.10 Ubuntu release, and I've been pretty addicted ever since. I believe it was, I have in my notes, it was 2010 for the 10.04 LTS release, the first major LTS. Ubuntu Ohio did a big recruiting campaign, if you will, for new members, trying to get a lot of groundwork going, a lot of noise being made for that release and about the community and everything. And well, I got interested and joined, and I've been part of it ever since. Real quickly, I would like to also point out and thank System76 for helping out with sponsorship of UbuCon today, and the Snowy Penguin, right? Snowy Penguin for help with our Ubuntu Ohio local team booth tomorrow. So, quick applause. So, as I mentioned, my topic is why Ubuntu. I think my wife is playing a trick on me. My notes tell me to flail my arms. I'm going to restrain from doing that. So, my talk is why Ubuntu. So, whenever anyone hears Ubuntu or sees something about Ubuntu, whether it's a logo or a lanyard, T-shirt, whatever it is, first question I always get is, what is this Ubuntu thing? And I have to admit, I'm a bit of a smart aleck, really dry sense of humor, gets me in trouble from time to time. My first response, for better or worse, is usually, well, it's a word. And I don't always get the best reactions from that response, but in reality, it's a word that actually comes from an ancient African dialect. It translates into humanity for others, or I am what I am because of who we are. In other words, it loosely translates into the definition of a community. So Ubuntu loosely means community. You explain what the word means, and we're like, okay, well, great. It's obviously, it's a something, it's a thing, it's a, what is it? What is it really? Come on, guys. So, I have to go on and explain, well, it's an open source, enterprise level operating system that is distributed completely free of charge. There's no licensing costs for it, and it's actually built off and based off of the original community, or the original Linux distribution, which was Debian. So it has very deep roots in the Linux community because of that. To a greater extent, Ubuntu is a community. It is also an operating system, but it is a community based around an operating system that has a love and a passion for technology. More fittingly, it's a passion for the experience that we're able to achieve with the technology through the operating system. So,
can you make an announcement when you're done with your talk? We just need people to go back to registration.
Yeah, real quick, guys. Ohio Linux Fest wants everyone to swing back by registration desk whenever you get a chance for additional wristbands.
Yeah.
Sweet. Are those for the after-party wristbands or for?
After-party and the conference itself, so awesome. Just whenever people get a chance.
Great. So don't forget to do that, guys. Where was I? Yeah, so it is a community. It's based around the experience and what we get out of our technology. Ubuntu actually is a very unique operating system because we're able to use it across the board on a large range of devices. So I'm going to touch a little bit now on why it's so unique. So in the beginning, this guy named Mark Shuttleworth, that's actually a picture of him right there, he became an astronaut, technically a cosmonaut, and went into outer space. And I guess whenever you do the coolest thing, going into outer space, there's not really a whole lot left out there to excite most people. Well, mind you guys, I'm paraphrasing and over-summarizing this, so don't take this for verbatim, but he at some point said, well, I already did the coolest thing out there, now what am I going to do? Hey, why don't I start a tech company? Tech companies are pretty cool. So he started Canonical, and as part of that, their first project was the Ubuntu operating system. So he started a tech company and then created his own operating system. Why not? Been out of space, why don't you do everything else across the board? So that's really how Ubuntu started. As I mentioned, it was based off of Debian operating system and has grown by leaps and bounds ever since. One of the other nice little points that makes Ubuntu so nice is that it has the corporate backing, as I mentioned, from Canonical. That corporate backing gives it a nice, strong, sturdy platform to stand on and to help continue to push it forward. I'll touch on that more in a little bit. The technology that is Ubuntu, and I'm not talking the hardware, I'm just talking the software alone, it really is bleeding edge. There is nothing slow or host-dated about Ubuntu. It's on the bleeding edge. It's right there. It'll run on the latest and greatest hardware, and the software is clean. It's for those of you who are reasonably savvy with development, it being open source, you can actually grab the source code and start reading through it. And I mean, you'll be impressed. It's a very clean code. We have large list of options with Ubuntu. There's desktop options from what kind of desktop environment you want to use to the hardware architecture that you're running, all the way down to security. There's specific security options with the Ubuntu desktop that are available. You have server options. You have even locale-based options. So by locale, I mean options that are, or derivatives really, that are tuned more specifically for people in certain regions or certain dialects or languages throughout the world. And then probably, in my opinion, one of the coolest things about Ubuntu is the community. Everyone here, just because you are here and you're showing interest, is automatically part of the community. The community is what helps, aside from corporate backing, the community really is what helps to push everything forward with Ubuntu. It's what spreads the word. It is what asks the questions. It's what discovers a lot of the bugs. In fact, the majority of the bugs come from the community. Just testing it and trying to do all sorts of different things with it. You get 100 different users, you're going to wind up with probably 150 different ways that it's being used. And that's the beauty of open source and of a community community-driven or participated project, like Ubuntu. So I'm going to talk a little bit about corporate backing and the tie between Canonical and Ubuntu. So whenever you have a solely community-based project, it doesn't necessarily have the most steam or is not necessarily the quickest moving project. When you have a solely corporate-based project, you have people who may not necessarily be in touch with what the end users are wanting or asking for, and they are saying, oh, we're going to do this and do this and do this. Well, that's great, because they can do it quickly and they've got the resources to get it done well. When you tie the two of them together with the relationship that Canonical and Ubuntu have, the Ubuntu community specifically, and the Canonical employees that develop Ubuntu and work with it, you actually have this, you have the strength in the engine, so to speak, of that corporate power pushing the, I'll say pushing the train down the tracks, and then you have the user end of the community end saying, hey, we found this, or why is this being done this way? And it's creating this chain of events that's driving things, helping to drive where the train's going, where the project is heading. But it's also giving a lot of strength to the foundation and the usability, the overall capabilities of the project. So we have, as I mentioned, we can run Ubuntu on a number of different devices. Who here has a television in their home? Who here has a computer, laptop, desktop, tablet? I'm sure most of us all have smartphones in our pockets. A server maybe at your home or at work? Ubuntu across all. You really can. It's such a unique operating system that it's been designed and modified so that it can run on all these different devices and run on them well, which you have really the same user with the exception of the server, you have the same user experience across all the devices, or a similar enough user experience across all of the devices that you are able to go from one to the other without dropping a step. You can, in fact, with the Ubuntu on cloud, their service cloud, you can actually have your videos or your pictures that you take on your phone and just automatically show them to everyone on your TV when you get back from vacation and everyone's around and kind of about the great time you had. Or you can record a video of little Julie running around and on the playground, and then when grandparents come over, you can very quickly show everyone the video without even dropping a step because it's already on the TV. So we, as I mentioned, the server actually is a very powerful platform. I'm not sure if many people here are very familiar with the other enterprise level Linux server OSs, but just like those, you do have specifically Red Hat and SUSE. You have your standard server, running applications or websites, whatever it is. But you also have the hypervisor. You can deploy your server as, so you can run dozens of VMs of virtual machines on there. You can even go ahead and deploy your own cloud. You can use it to manage storage arrays. There's endless options with the server. And speaking of options, when we get into the desktops, aside from the standard Ubuntu release, there's actually 8 official desktops that are also in the Ubuntu family. We have, I'll go ahead and just list them here real quick. We have, so we have the standard Ubuntu, we have Ubuntu, Zubuntu, Ubuntu, Ubuntu, Mythubuntu, the GNOME Ubuntu, and Ubuntu Kylin. I believe I'm saying that right. Close enough. And then on top of the officials, you have what are considered the unofficial flavors or derivatives of Ubuntu, which the difference between the official and the unofficial is if it's an official derivative of Ubuntu, Canonical and the Ubuntu development community are actually actively engaging and working with those flavors so that you have all the same security patches, you have the same backend, but just a different user experience front end or utility to interact with it. And so you're still going to be getting all the same utilities, patches, software channels, options that you would have with the unofficial. You'll have all of those, but then you'll also have, you know, their components as well, but you're not actually actively receiving support from Canonical and Ubuntu proper. So we also have special server editions. As I mentioned earlier, you know, the hypervisors, our cloud deployments. There's also management servers that you can use with Ubuntu. So you can go ahead and use the Canonical landscape, which will allow you to manage and deploy desktop servers. We are actually at work testing landscape with the Ubuntu tablets as a option for remote claims adjusters, so that they can, you know, work with everything. But if they lose their device, which, you know, a lot of people who travel for work a lot often lose their devices, we can remotely wipe it, and we can keep these devices a lot more secured and locked down than what they would be otherwise. And also, as I mentioned earlier, there are several locale-based flavors or derivatives of Ubuntu. So we have our two most official, or the two primary official Ubuntu desktops. We have the Unity-based Ubuntu, which is the standard release, which comes with official support and sponsorship of Canonical. And that's also commercial support as well as official support and backing from Canonical. The Kubuntu, which is the KDE desktop environment, also comes with support from Canonical, but is now very recently being commercially supported by Emerge Open. They are a small, relatively new open source based company that is an official Ubuntu official Canonical partner. So they're actually in a corporate alliance with Canonical, so they have same access to everything that Canonical and Ubuntu support would have if you're looking at them in a corporate environment. So we have the next handful of the officially supported derivatives, which we have Zubuntu, as mentioned earlier, and Lubuntu, which Zubuntu is the XFCE-based desktop environment. Something I do want to point out, many of you are probably noticing, the icon for Zubuntu is a mouse, I found this pretty interesting, so I thought I'd share it. The reason it's a mouse is years ago when they first came out with the XFCE desktop environment, it was so much smaller than the other environment, than KDE or GNOME. And so, like, well, it's small, it's tiny, you know, it's real quick. They put a mouse up there because they thought it was, you know, all that, and, well, they could make some really fun or cute logos with it. So that's where that came from. That's why they have the mouse. The Lubuntu is the LXDE environment, which is lightweight XFCE desktop environment. So Lubuntu, their icon originally was a paper airplane. It's modified from that, but it's, would you say that's paper airplane-esque shaped?
Swoosh.
It's a swoosh?
Yeah,
okay.
It's like a crane.
Someone told me, yeah, you're right, it does kind of look like a crane. Someone told me that the reason behind paper airplane is because it was so much lighter and so much smaller and faster than the mouse. It's kind of just a play off of that. Whether that's true or not, I don't know, but I liked it, so I told you. So maybe we're starting some bad rumors. If that's the case, I didn't tell you. next we have Edbuntu, which is a Ubuntu derivative geared and directed towards education, specifically preschool through roughly middle school or 12 years of age type of ballpark. The concept behind it is, one of the main concepts behind it is, as many of us know, we hear every, for better or worse, every year, the school budget's this, the school budget's that. Well, if schools are, you know, have such tight budgets, and education nowadays is being geared and directed more towards technology, what if we could completely eliminate the licensing for the desktop? You know, you don't have, you know, the Windows licensing for your desktop, or you don't have, you know, you're not buying the Macs for the classrooms. Instead you have hardware. That's all you have to buy. Or get donated. You have a free operating system that's actually designed to be linked together in a classroom mode as well. So that would save classrooms huge, school systems huge, on their annual budgets. Interesting fact that I discovered recently was that as far as education-based operating systems or education-geared operating systems, Edbuntu is actually the largest and most widely used education-geared or education-based operating system in the world. I thought that was pretty exciting. And then now we move to my wife's personal favorite Ubuntu derivative, which is Ubuntu Studio. How many people here have wanted to do a whole bunch at some point in time, whether it's just a fleeting fantasy or whatever, or are currently doing it professionally? Graphical design, video editing, sound editing, DJing. Ubuntu Studio is actually a derivative that's geared towards all of that. It's geared towards the multimedias and the visual arts. It's very clean. It's widely loved. Just like Ubuntu, it's very, very slick and very stable as well. We have three more. You have Mythbuntu. Mythbuntu is a Ubuntu derivative that allows you to create a set-top type or set-top style box for your home. For those who aren't really familiar with that concept or that term, basically you can create a small, whether it be home server storage component that actually plugs into your TV, or a small, very small, slim computer that has, you know, just maybe a single stick of RAM and, you know, dual core processor on the back that you bolt to the back of the TV that allows you to actually interact with the TV so you can queue up all your videos, your home video library or your music library. You can even go through and pull down things from the internet off YouTube or I believe Netflix is actually now supported on that as well. You can pull all that down through Mythbuntu onto your TV and turn from any TV into your any TV into a smart TV through a box like Mythbuntu. Next we have our last two officially supported derivatives, which are very, very new. They actually both came out with were first released with 1304. The Ubuntu GNOME is a, if you will, a baby project right now. It has a lot of followers, but there's not a lot of a devoted community to it quite yet. So you have the Ubuntu operating system with the GNOME 3 desktop environment is what Ubuntu GNOME is. I don't know if many people remember back when Unity first came in, a lot of people were up in arms. They wanted their GNOME. They wanted GNOME running instead of Unity. Well, at first, there was, okay, I can have Unity 3D, I can have Unity 2D, or I can use my traditional GNOME desktop. Well, then that went away, and that is shortly after the Ubuntu GNOME project came to be. A lot of people wanted that flexibility and the upstream compliance of GNOME, and so now they have Ubuntu running the GNOME environment. Our last one is actually Ubuntu Kylin, which is a derivative that has been making quite a lot of headway in the news lately. I'm not sure if anyone's heard, but Ubuntu and Canonical have been working with the Chinese government, as well as a lot of the major universities in China, and have actually, so to speak, received the blessing from a lot of the major higher education sources in China and from the Chinese government with releasing Ubuntu Kylin to China, to the whole of China, which is a huge, huge achievement, because that is billions of new people that will be brought into this open source Ubuntu umbrella, this Ubuntu community, that's going to help escalate the community and the project forward tremendously, and it's really helping to grow the open source community just as a whole by having that many more users. And the one thing that is unique about Ubuntu Kylin is that it is specific, aside from the fact that it was given the green light from the government of China, was that it has been specifically geared for use. So it's most suitable for users in China, for Chinese users. So speaking of users in China, we actually have our locale-based derivatives. So locale would be anything with a different language, a region of a different dialect, or you could even take down as nitty-gritty as a time zone. It's a little too far down to where I'm trying to go right now, but the point I'm trying to make is that if you are in whatever region in the world, as long as you can figure out where you are and what language you want to interact with on your desktop, there's almost guaranteed going to be a Ubuntu derivative to fit your needs. So all you gotta do is go out and get it, and you can start using it. And there are large communities all over the world, Europe, Asia, Middle East, all over Africa, South America. Brazil is quite large, actually, in the Ubuntu communities.
Do you know any Ubuntu derivatives or something set up for techie people, for like engineering and science?
I use just the standard release, to be perfectly honest. The KDE, the Kubuntu, would be another good option as well. Actually, speaking to that, if you're trying to, say, find a derivative that would work on, you know, older hardware and still be quick and snappy, Kubuntu and Lubuntu will actually thrive very well in those environments. Or if, say, you have a whole bunch of horsepower, but you don't want to waste any of it on your desktop environment, they'll do killer and something like that as well. So that might be an option as well. But yeah, I personally use Ubuntu for myself, for a lot of things at work, and I use one of my clients is actually using Ubuntu in his firm, so for their desktops. So Ubuntu servers. Options are endless. They are virtually boundless. No, that was pretty bad. All right, sorry guys. We can do with the Ubuntu servers and the Ubuntu cloud infrastructure, you have the ability to deploy pretty much anything. You can do, you know, hosted infrastructures, whether you're trying to build out a infrastructure as a service, an IaaS environment, or a middle as a service, hosted cloud services, or MaaS. Ubuntu would be fantastic for something like that. In fact, including infrastructure management, Ubuntu's Landscape product will thrive for that. Your basic, just run-of-the-mill server, whether you're trying to just build a quick firewall, or you are trying to do, you know, a small router for, you know, a small business or your home, Ubuntu will work for that, or just trying to host a small website. Ubuntu server will work great for that too. Application hosting and virtualization, that's fantastic. I borrowed a handful of these pictures from the Ubuntu website because I couldn't find anything else or come up with anything else that really fit it better. You can take the applications that are on your server and through the Ubuntu cloud infrastructure with Charms and Juju, or Juju and its charms, you can actually present applications to other Ubuntu devices, and you can even use other third-party services like Citrix. Citrix Zen app runs phenomenally on Ubuntu server. There are, with the different technologies in Ubuntu, you have obviously a bit of overlap. So you have that convergence of where everything's kind of coming together. I'm not going to get too far into that because that is the point of John O'Bacon's talk tomorrow at 10 a.m. Just a reminder. As I mentioned, the Ubuntu cloud, you can have your own private cloud, you know, host at your house, set it up, everything's on your phone, you take your picture, it's automatically stored on your private cloud. You don't have to pay any services other than your phone bill and your home internet. That'd be fantastic use of the Ubuntu server and a lot of its proponents. And obviously Juju. Juju is an orchestration manager, so it allows you to manage your cloud environments. And to be honest, I don't want to talk too much about that, because I know I will not do it justice. If you are interested in application management and construction management. I recommend catching George Gaster's talk tomorrow at 5 p.m. He's also giving another talk here at UbuCon today at 3 this afternoon. So just a couple other times for you to remember there. And then the other big thing with Ubuntu that I think is a major selling point is if you have your Ubuntu desktop at home and you're using the Ubuntu One cloud service, you get 5 gigs for free when you first sign up for it. And then you can actually, I believe the limit has been escalated or increased. Is it 500 gigs now?
You buy a song for $1, you get an extra 20 gig for like 6 months.
Yeah, you buy, it, okay, you buy a song, you get the extra storage, and then you can also you buy storage in packs of 20 gigabytes. So you just buy as many as you need.
Okay, great. So yeah, if anyone didn't hear that, you buy additional storage and blocks of 20 gigs, and you can continue to buy as much as you need. I know originally there was a cap at 50 gigs, but I thought they did away with that. It sounds like they have. So if you're using your Ubuntu One service, back to what I was getting at, and you have your Ubuntu desktop, you get your desktop configured with your service. It takes maybe 2 minutes at most, the very first time you ever look at it. After that, it's maybe 30 seconds. And you can go to your friend's house. They have an Ubuntu desktop. You're like, oh, wait, I need to pull up that or edit that document real quick. If you go to switch the user, and you can say remote sign in, remote login, log in with your Ubuntu One account, and you have access. It's actually a VDI. You have access to your entire Ubuntu One cloud. So you can log into your desktop, your profile, from anywhere, on any Ubuntu desktop, through the Ubuntu One service. And you know, as we become more dependent on technology and things revolve more around it, that is phenomenal in my mind, and it's really convenient. Does anyone have any questions? Yes.
I have got a few questions.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm fairly new to Ubuntu, but...
Welcome.
One question is, if I were to say, because you mentioned Ubuntu Studio and the other official flavors of Ubuntu, how easy is it to switch from one to the other? So if I were to start a machine with the vanilla Ubuntu and I were to decide, well, I want more performance, I'm going to go to Ubuntu, or I need more AV, so I want to go to Ubuntu Studio, how easy is it to switch?
So it's bouncing around between the different derivatives. That's a good question, actually. So you have Ubuntu, and you mentioned what the standard Ubuntu is what you mentioned, and then Lubuntu, the LXD environment, and then Ubuntu Studio. The Ubuntu Studio is very, very similar to the standard Ubuntu. So you'll actually still be using Unity in there, and you will have the default programs that come pre-installed and pre-set up are actually going to be, and everything really is going to be geared more for multimedia. Now, that's not to say you can't once you install your standard Ubuntu, you just go to the Software Center and say, I want to install, actually, you know what? I'll just show you here real quick. We have a projector. There we go. All right. So, say you want to install, or you want to run the standard Ubuntu, and because you're just not really sure which one you're wanting to use, so you go ahead and you say, okay, I'm using standard Ubuntu. Now I want all the multimedia functionality of Ubuntu Studio. So all you gotta do is, if you can spell it right, all you need to do is search for the Ubuntu Studio, and you can actually go and install the Ubuntu Studio package. So you have the Ubuntu Studio repositories, so you'll be getting all the updates for all that, but then you'll also be getting all the multimedia packages. You'll get GIMP, you'll get, and I really don't want to say this. You'll get the audio editing, you'll get the video editing, you'll have a bunch of other applications that tie into those and allow you to pull things back and forth between the different programs. So you can actually install all of that into your standard Ubuntu. For the most part, you can do a lot of that into the Zubuntu and Lubuntu as well. You might have to hunt down some of the packages a little separately. Like some of the smaller, less common ones, you'll have to probably still hunt down individually. But yeah, you should be fine to use really any of them and still use all of the all packages available.
Okay. And also language support. You mentioned that there are locale specific.
Yes.
Ubuntu's. If you want to have more than one language supported in the same distro, is there support for multiple input editors?
Yes.
Okay. So the input editor from the official Chinese Ubuntu, is that also available in the English?
So Ubuntu Kylin is actually built a little differently because it's designed to be the most ideal for it. For the People's Republic of China users. So it's designed to be very special for them. And it's all in Chinese, but the remainder, excuse me, the Brazil distribution for Ubuntu has all the same options and everything. It's just, it completely cuts the language into Portuguese.
But there is a way to get like a keyboard that will, or an input editor that will let you.
You mean like keyboard wise or?
Right.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Okay.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Onboard.
I'm sorry?
Onboard would be the package.
Oh, yeah. Onboard would be the package.
That and iBus.
Yeah. Onboard and iBus would be packages you would use for something like that. Anyone else have any other questions? Thoughts, rotten tomatoes you want to throw? Yes?
Just one other quick thing.
If anyone
else has got anything. The only other Linux distribution I've tried before Ubuntu was Slackware, which is very, very
different. Slack is a good distribution. I won't knock it. Strong believer that all technology has its purpose, but when you take it away from that place and purpose, it's not very good.
I see.
So, Ubuntu is going to be much, and I'm saying this having heard it from several other people and not actually tried Slack myself, that it is a lot significantly more user-friendly and greatly more low-tech friendly, as in someone who's not a, you know, a developer or, you know, sysadmin can throw it in their computer and use it. I actually have my parents and my grandmother are all using Ubuntu. So, I mean, I don't know, take that for what you want, but no, they love it. They have no issues. I think the only thing that confused my dad was with the LibreOffice. It was Impress instead of PowerPoint.
John, one thing I will mention with regards to Slackware, there is a derivative of it that comes from Canada called Vector Linux.
Okay.
It's prepackaged with a GUI. It's kind of XFCE based, which, as you know, is up my alley. But it's a slightly more user-friendly edition of Slack for people who want to go down that road.
Okay.
So if you're trying just mainline and you finding it akin to starting out with driving an M1A1 Bradley instead of a, you know, a simple commercial vehicle, Vector Linux would be more akin to starting out with a Hummer instead.
Okay.
That's awesome. So, no other questions? No one wants to throw around? Oh, yes.
Ubuntu Touch, isn't it when that's, like, officially hitting? Like, for existing devices like the Nexus 7,
yes.
10,
Yeah, no, yeah, Ubuntu, yeah, so it's actually,
is it going to be
its channel is, its channel is Ubuntu Touch. The, you actually have tablet and smartphone installations, which are different because of the CPU architecture. That's really the big difference there. They are officially supported. They're screamed about. I want to say I'm in the process of testing it out right now, but I'm actually just waiting on
it. I played with it quite a few times,
yeah.
But I didn't know when it was going to be, you know, I could put my own data in it and actually start using it. When is that going to be with 1310? Do you know?
My suspicion, Michael's saying yes.
I'm nodding my head vigorously. George Castor said he's going to bring something to play with when he gets here later today. Ellerbrook Canonical said it's going to be October. Something will be released.
I would suspect that things would be fully commercial ready by this next coming LTS.
And that's using Mirror, right?
Correct.
That's one of the problems with Touch is, yes, it's the same core. In theory, yes. It has a terminal. You could do an apt-get install and put LibreOffice on there.
Don't do it if you're doing multi-run, though.
But it won't load because there's no X server.
Yes.
So it's got some limitations, but you'd be able to talk to George Castro about that later today and tomorrow. So there's a little bit of a refactor that has to happen with the Touch, but it's got some lovely possibilities.
I agree.
The interface is awesome.
Yes.
One thought that just occurred to me, is this available on the Raspberry Pi?
Do not believe
not
so,
quite.
No.
So,
at least not officially.
So my
coworker
has an R-Pi, and I'm actually somewhat familiar with it. The ARM processor they're using in it is just, it's one version too slow, and one version too old. There might be something unofficial, but officially Ubuntu doesn't quite run on it. There's lots of other cheap ARM computers that does run on that.
The big award.
Yeah, that's the big
award.
Yep. Yeah.
Big award did. It's currently falling off.
The newest, whatever their newest.
Yeah. This is what I get for being the leader and the ARM guy for Ubuntu Ohio. Panda board at a minimum is what will support Ubuntu on ARM. Raspberry Pi is just a wrong architecture set of instructions. It won't be supported by Ubuntu at all because it's ARM v6 instructions, and the lowest Ubuntu will go will be ARM v7. So it's just wrong instruction set. there's some silliness going on with the display server, which is part of why you heard me say I had to migrate my BeagleBoard over to Debian testing. It's because the display server no longer plays nice. That's a little bit undetermined right now. No one quite knows. Server functions, though, it's great, especially if you get a serial console hooked up. But beyond that, there are possibilities there. If you get an ArcPy, it's going to be Debian, which best way to look at it is it's like Ubuntu. It's just the cauldron of what you're going to see with a lot more polish later.
Okay. Thank you.
Well, I'm glad no one has Rotten Tomatoes. Thanks, guys.